This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys that invite you to rub their bellies. Yeah, go ahead, rub it.
Yeah, this is a story of things.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we've been speaking this morning with Jim Harding, who is a specialist with the Michigan State University Department of Zoology. And Jim, before the break, you were talking a little bit about some of the turtles and how they've been affected by the raccoon population. Did you want to finish your thought on that?
Well, it's just, the point to make is that sometimes when we identify problems with certain wildlife species, then we think we've corrected those problems, and then we find something else that pops up. I mean, I don't think anybody ever anticipated that the raccoon population would become quite as high as it is in many places.
Sure.
They're not trapped as much anymore, there's just no way of controlling them. They do occasionally get diseases, which will knock back the population occasionally, and we do notice that turtles and other animals will respond. They'll bounce back sometimes. So it's just one of those unanticipated things that suddenly become a major problem after we think we've passed enough laws and have protected these animals.
Well, Jim, and that sort of leads me to the other topic we've been talking today, which is frogs, because Rick and I last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, we had several guests on the show talking all about the disease in the frog population.
The Kittredge type scenario.
And just how they were almost becoming an endangered species, and yet I'm seeing frogs dangling off my screen door and frankly, quite prevalent. So it made me ask the question, how are the frog population doing? Are they getting better, coming back? What's going on with that population?
Well, that's a good question. The Kittredge disease problem, the Kittredge fungus problem in some amphibian populations is a serious, serious problem. But its effects have been mainly in the West and in the United States, and also in the tropical parts
waters
of the world.
Yeah.
Here in Michigan, Kittredge has been detected, but it doesn't seem to be a major factor yet, and we hope that it doesn't become a major factor. Here in Michigan, probably the biggest problem is simply continuous loss or disruption of habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, okay, Jim, are there more frogs now? And I say, well, there's less habitat, so there's got to be less frogs. They can't live in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask the question differently, are there still frogs where there should be frogs? In other words, where you still have wetland habitats and open land, and are there still frogs? So that's the question we have to ask. And it seems to be fairly positive, but a mixed bag. Here in Michigan, we haven't identified many species that are on a severe decline. I think the cricket frog, the little tiny one-inch-long cricket frog, is perhaps an exception. It is listed as, I believe it's a threatened species at the moment.
Hmm.
It's really declined a lot, considering that it can be very abundant, south of the state here. Like down in Missouri, I've seen huge populations of cricket frogs.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason here in Michigan, the habitat they like doesn't seem to be as available, and they seem to be declining. Fowler's toad, if some people don't realize, they think all toads look alike, and of course toads are very similar to one another. But there's actually two species of toad in Michigan, the American toad, which seems to be still fairly common and widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Fowler's toad, which is found mainly on the west side of the state, and we're a little worried about the Fowler's toads. They seem to be scarcer and scarcer, where they used to be more common. We're not sure why, but there are quite a few species of frogs in Michigan that seem to be doing okay, again, where the habitat still exists. You mentioned the little frogs that cling to your screen at night.
Yeah.
Those are gray tree frogs, and sometimes spring peepers too, the little teeny ones. But the bigger, the more medium-sized-ish ones, which can be green or gray or brown, depending on their mood, are still very common. They breed in temporary ponds in the springtime, and I have them around my house. You know, if I put on a light outside, they'll gather around the light at night, and now you can watch them eat moths. It's probably more entertaining than what's on TV most of the time. Wood frogs seem to be doing okay. The green frog, which looks like a sort of a moderate-sized bullfrog-like animal, mm-hmm. sometimes mistaken for bullfrogs, the green frog is doing pretty well. Where the habitat still exists, there are probably still some problems with pesticides. Research on pesticides in amphibians is ongoing. It's sometimes the effects are subtle. Sometimes, of course, if they use high concentrations, then the effects can be immediate and unfortunate. But we're finding that contaminants, pollutants, and pesticides can have sublethal effects. That is, the tadpoles may grow slower. They may not hide as much from their enemies if they're contaminated with low levels of pesticides. And so survivorship might not be quite as good as you would expect. So a lot of these subtle environmental effects. The big difference between amphibians like frogs and toads and things like turtles, turtles are reptiles, you know, like lizards and snakes, and they have a pretty good outer skin covering, which protects them against some pollutants and contaminants. Whereas frogs, and of course their larvae, the tadpoles, are just sitting out there sopping up whatever is in the water. You know, they have exposed gills when they're, you know, small tadpoles. Salamander larvae, of course, always have exposed gills. And their skins are thin and not well protected they don't have scales. And so a frog sitting in a pond is basically like a sponge just sitting out there sopping up whatever's in the water. Mm-hmm. They don't drink. You know, a frog doesn't drink. It just sits in a moist place or sits in the water and absorbs water through its belly. The amphibians have a built-in problem. But to get back to the original point that you asked about, it seems like there's quite a few species of frogs in Michigan that are doing okay.
I got a quick one before you go, because we're winding out of time. Of your books that you have, what book would one want to pick up as a resident of Michigan and actually discover these particular animals there so they can help identify what they see out in the wild?
Sure. Well, the book, Amphibians and Reptiles of the Great Lakes Region, is sort of an all-in-one book. It contains both reptiles and amphibians, is a little bit more detailed. But it covers the entire Great Lakes region, so it does contain a few species which aren't found in Michigan, but are found in like Wisconsin or Indiana.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're about out of time. But I want to thank you for coming back on the show. As always, your information is really terrific. We've been speaking this morning with Jim Harding, who is a specialist with Michigan State University in the Department of Zoology. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and speak with Jason from Proust Pets, who's going to give us a very interesting perspective right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link.